sing the chorus one more time. Did you know God has only one tense? Truthfully, it's now. God's going to touch me next year. No, he wants to touch you now. God touched me 30 years ago. Thank God. Let him touch us now. Fill me now. Let's sing it through one more time. This is the people's choice. Request was made for a message on the Holy Spirit. Big subject. But if we do not understand the Holy Spirit, this entire book will be in the dark to you. Absolutely. How many know the Lord wants to flip on the switch so we know who the Holy Spirit is? And what he wants to do in our life. I'm going to ask Dave to turn off the lights for 2 seconds here. Now pretend you can't see anything around you. You'll have to pretend because it's light in here. Is everything still in the room? Yes. Is anything new added? No. It is exactly the way it's been prepared. Turn the lights back on. I want to give you just a very quick little definition of the Trinity and how they operate. Please resist the idea of sleeping. I know sometimes you get a lot of your rest in the sermons. I would suggest kicking yourself or better yet, let me kick you. No, I'm kidding. No. Yeah, well, we don't want that. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is the current and the power that comes from the switch to turn the light on. And when the light is on, the light is who? Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. Without the Holy Spirit, he is the one that brings the power. He is the current that ignites it. There has to be a connection at the switch in order for the light to turn on. And when the light turns on, and Jesus is the light of the world, and the Bible says that he is the first light in the creation, when the light came on, this is Jesus Christ, totally shown up to light up the creation that was going to be prepared and brought forth. And then what does the sun do? What does the light do? It reveals the space that you're in. You know what that does? That reveals the purpose and everything that the Father has prepared for this world and for you. The light has to be on to see the full extent of God's purpose. The Trinity works together, except for Calvary. They've never been separated. And so that connection at the switch is absolutely imperative. Without it, you will not fully understand the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved unless the switch and the power comes through the current. You cannot know the Father without it. You cannot know the great spectrum of God's purpose without it. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. He is not, I know we list them Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I think maybe we get the idea he's in third place. But he's not in third place. It's actually Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are all equal. And they work together. So the light is the Son, the power source is the Holy Spirit, and the Father has prepared all of this. Did you know that everything God the Father is going to do, he's already done? He's already done it. It's done in eternity. It has to come forth in this world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has already turned the light on, so we know the fullness. But there's so much in our own Christian life we don't know, and that's because we're not connected to the switch. That's why. You have to have a connection to that switch for the igniting to come. And so I chose two verses. I'm going to begin at the beginning of Genesis and then end at Revelation. How does that sound? Did you know the Holy Spirit, the law first mentioned, and I've mentioned it so many times, I'll mention it again. Whenever there's a law first mentioned, pay attention. This really is important in understanding the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. In the second verse, first chapter. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I want you also to make mental note as we go through all of this. Whenever there's talk about the Holy Spirit, there is, generally speaking, in some form or another, whether it's real or it's intended or applied, is the word water. You can't have power and energy without water source. You have to have water source. And the Bible in Ephesians says this is the washing of the word, right here, the word of God. Now we can share in evangelism, and a lot of you are doing that, and fabulous, and that's terrific. Keep doing it. But I got to tell you, and I know Scott has mentioned it, the only way people are going to come to Christ is through the word of God. That has to be implanted in their soul. That's the water that ignites the switch, that brings new life, that reveals the Father's purpose. That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. So in Genesis 1, second verse, in the earth was empty. You know, God created it perfect, and the fall of Lucifer brought it all down into chaos. And God did what? He restored his own creation. This is talking about the Spirit of Elohim. When it talks about God, this is the Creator working here. And the Hebrew word, I'm going to withhold the Hebrew or the Greek words in deference to those that have a little difficulty with it. But you read your notes, you can see them in there. It means breath, wind, and spirit. The word spirit means breath, wind, and spirit. You don't see it, but you see the effect of it. Okay? When God created man, what did he do? He took dust and he breathed into him. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He breathed life and he became a life, a living soul. He became a personality. That is the original work of God in your life and mine. He created us as individual people with individual personalities. But then in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it reminds us about who? The second Adam. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, and he became a life-giving spirit. So unless we come into a personal relationship with that light bulb, the light of Christ, there is no new life. You're still in darkness. Still in darkness. Can't understand it in your intellect. You cannot get saved by your own understanding. It is by revelation of the Holy Spirit. There has to be regeneration. Okay. So the Bible says here, the Holy Spirit moved across the face of the waters. He's the movement of the Godhead. Anytime you see movement, he's the one that's doing it. And again, there's usually water or water imagery. And the word moved means to relax. That's the first word. I like that. Because you know where there's chaos, you need to relax, right? Don't add to your own chaos. Let the Holy Spirit put a relaxing in your spirit. He's in charge. I love that word, relax. It also means to flutter, to move and to shake, and it means to hover. He's hovering over the waters. Everything in this creation is made from what? Water, including our physical bodies. He's hovering over it all. And the Hebrew word and the idea here is this. It's like when the Lord hovered over Jerusalem, over his own. He's hovering over his creation. He's not just fixing it up here and bringing order. That's part of it. He's hovering. He's loving. He's looking. He loves you. That's what he's doing. There's great emotion here in the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the sensory part of the Godhead. Whenever you sense something, it's the Holy Spirit working. I can guarantee you he's working all the time. So he relaxes our spirit. And the Bible says here, he moved across the face of the waters. This is plural in the Hebrew, but it comes out singular. And that's because anytime you'll see something regarding the Trinity, the Godhead, when he says, let us come down, it will be plural in the name, meaning it's plural, but they're in one because their verb is in the singular. That means the subject, meaning the Godhead, is plural. But the subject is plural, but then the verb and the action is singular, which means together they did this. They didn't make three faces. They didn't make three creations. They made one. They did one recreation here. And so he says, in moving across the face of the waters, he breathes upon it. He breathes life. He blows the wind. He is the wind. The Bible in the New Testament tells us he's the wind. And sometimes he blows like the wind blew the other day. You just think it's blowing your socks off. You know? He can blow any way he wants, as long as God's working. And every time again, there is a switch. There's any power, electricity, there's a water source. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Unless you're born again of the water and the Spirit. And the gentleman was trying to tell me that baptism is the water. No, baptism comes after belief system. Baptism comes after your conversion, your belief in Christ. This is the water. This is the water God gave. And I can tell you this, that if you are not drinking this water, if you are not putting it in your spirit, you are dehydrated. All of your organs are going to cry out. They're going to be screaming like you can't believe. You're going to have pain you don't even know of, and it's because you're not allowing the water of God's word to wash over you and heal and restore you. Now, in the basic light switch, and I know that Ray was an electrician, so thank God we're in the house of God, because if I say anything wrong, you can forgive me. Thank you. Basic light switch has two terminals. The hot wire from the power source connects to one of those terminals, and the hot wire to the load, meaning, in this case, the lights. The Holy Spirit is the current in the switch. Has to go to one of the terminals. That's the light. That's Jesus. Has to go to the other terminal. That's the Father. Unless they all connect, nothing happens. Unless they all connect, nothing happens. It's imperative they work as one in our life. And so, now I want you to flip back to Revelation, the book most people don't understand. And that's because we're not supposed to fully understand it all. What's faith called? We're supposed to trust, even if we don't understand it, okay? Because God knows what it means. And I figure if, in my relationship to the Lord, if he understands something, I'm at least good to go. I'm happy one of us knows it. Because it ain't me. Okay, Revelation 22:17. This is the last appearance of the Spirit. And it's interesting to me, generally speaking, you don't hear the Spirit talk. He's a man of action, so to speak. What is so important that the Spirit of God would make an utterance? The invitation to the eternals. That's what's important. Says the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Again, there's the water. The water of life. Without which you can't get through that current. Without which you cannot get to the Son. You cannot see the work of the Father. It all works together. This is his last appearance, the Spirit. And I think it's interesting. He's the primary. He'd be like the Lord Chamberlain in England that announces all the big things. The bride is included in this invitation as they are inviting people. The bride is, of course, the Church of Jesus Christ. It is God's bride. Now, in the original here, it can mean bride, it can mean daughter-in-law. But what it does mean is that we come into the family of God through the bridegroom, through Jesus Christ. That's how you come into God's family. And it's interesting to me today, because thinking about the word bride, the word, it not only means that, but it comes from a root that means bridal chamber. And ultimately, it comes from a word nupto that means your veil, the veil over the face. I don't know about you. You probably don't care, but I do. I'm very sad over the last many years that in weddings, they don't have a blusher veil anymore. They don't have that great way of showing the world that there's a revealing. It's a great example of the love of Christ for the church. He's going to reveal himself. What a great moment that's going to be. But they got everything nowadays. It's all high tech. We saw something the other day, I kid you not. Their wedding cake is like a Halloween nightmare. Red for blood dripping down. All this stuff. You kidding? I mean, okay, so your marriage is going to be trick or treat. I don't know. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I don't think that sounds good to me. The son is the bridegroom. And the Bible gives us great illustration in the Old Testament with Rebekah coming to Isaac. Abraham's servant went to get her. Do you know who brings you to Christ? It's the Spirit of God. He is the servant. And he stayed with her on her journey until she came to Isaac. How many are glad the Holy Spirit doesn't ditch you? Man, thank God he stays 24/7. He's there right with us. That's his purpose. That's one of his purposes anyway. And he invites, and this is great scripture here. He says what? Whoever wants to hear, let them come. You got to want to hear what God wants to say. You can't come to God and go say what I want you to say. We have to hear what he wants us to hear. Let those who hear, let those who are thirsty, again, the water issue. This word, dipso, means to earnestly desire him. Personally, I think people aren't hungry enough for the Lord. We like them when we have a trial. We like them at Christmas and Easter because, you know, it's great times to celebrate. But are we really desperate for him himself? Personally, I believe that he's looking for people that will seek him for who he is. That can only come through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus. That's one of his ministries. And obviously, he lifts up the Father. He wants us in that relationship. He's the one that helps us. Those who are thirsty, and those who, it's in this text, it says, who wish it. The Greek means who will it. Do you want to come to him? Do you want him to be more important to you than anything else? God won't violate your will, folks. He will not. He wants us to want him. And then it says, let them come freely. Come freely to the water. This Greek word, I'm going to pronounce it just because I think it says do re, and then it says on. I was looking for do re mi, but it didn't say do re mi. But it is the scale of grace, folks. It is free as a gift without payment. It is undeserved, and it is not out of obligation. God didn't give us salvation because he had to. He did it because he wanted to. He was under no obligation by anybody to go to the cross. Not at all. How many are glad he went anyway? Not out of obligation or duress. Oh, I think I'll go die for them. They're such miserable people. No, He did it out of choice, out of love and devotion. So in the prologue, in the beginning of the Bible, in the end, the epilogue, the Spirit of God is at the beginning and at the end of the word. You know why? Because the book of Ephesians, my favorite book of the 66, says the sword of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit's. He's the only one that can wield it. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can wield and share and explain and expound the Word of God. It's His weapon. It's His instrument. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Graciously, He allows us to read it and to feed on it. But it really is His work. Now, I want to say how the switch works in our life. That's really important. Extremely important. Switch is turned on by faith, okay? But how many have ever stood there? You know, the Bible calls faith a fruit, right? It means it grows. Well, who put the seed there in the first place? God did. You think you came up with the seed? You think you stood there for a few minutes and went, faith, 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 and it's going to grow? No, we didn't. God put it in us. Holy Spirit put it in us. Remember, it talked about Jesus said, gave him without measure faith. He had no measure. He had complete faith. You can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit opens it up in your spirit. Because faith is an operation of the Holy Spirit. There's no question about it. And when you talk to people, like Pat's been sharing with people in the parking lot in particular, I think you should just put a pulpit out there, Pat, and keep going. But when you're talking to people and we go, they don't get it. No, they don't. They don't get it till the Holy Spirit wakes them up. It's the Holy Spirit's work to do that. The Bible says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many know if you have a hearing loss, you have a hard time singing because you can't hear it? And you can tell if people have a hearing loss, they tend to talk louder. Our dad talked pretty loud. But that was okay, because at least we knew he was talking. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You want to have faith or have people have faith? Give them the scripture. Scripture is the life. It is the work that the Holy Spirit uses. I've said a million times before, the devil doesn't care what I write. He doesn't give a hoot what anyone writes. He cares about this. This is the book he cares about. Now, here's where it's going to make a difference in your spirit. That switch back there, or many switches actually, many light switches, the current that flows through them, they can be disconnected. You can disconnect yourself from the work of the Godhead. Because the Holy Spirit is the sensory part of the Godhead. And I know sometimes we think, well, the Holy Spirit might be a little upset. I got news for you. If the Holy Spirit's upset, so is the Son, so is the Father. They work together. As parents, you can tell if something's wrong with your kids. You feel it. Right? Can't do nothing about it, but you feel it. Here, I want you to turn to Ephesians 5. Okay, because when you have a light switch, how many have ever had one that flickers? Yeah, when we moved into our house, there was sparks behind it. That was lovely. I thought, Lord, I want the fire of God, but not like that. Yeah. How many have ever had a light switch? It's too hard. It's too stiff. Or it's so loose that it can affect the connection. People have a tendency to be too hard or too soft. And the Holy Spirit wants to make us what? Balanced. Ephesians 5. Okay, where am I here? just because my voice ain't working. My head should be working. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the fourth chapter. I'm going to start in the 29th verse. Ephesians 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. According to those scriptures, when you take it all in context, what's one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit? The way we talk. Remember, he's the administrator of the Word of God. He's very concerned about words. He's very concerned about how we speak, what we think about, how we project. And unwholesome things in the scripture grieve the Holy Spirit significantly. The word grieve in the Greek means to have distress, pain, and to be vexed. And it comes from pain of body and mind. His entire being is vexed. He is grieved. He's in mourning. And it is the same word as one in childbirth, the pain that you have. Why? Because, again, he loves his children. He loves those he's created. So it hurts him when we grieve him. There's no question about it. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. I'm only pointing out two things here because they're both very important. This word means to extinguish, to suppress, and to stifle. Talking about the hot wire in the current to any within there. You extinguish the fire, the power of the Spirit of God. There's no connection. It will turn off. Do not quench him. Let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in your life, period. God, do what you want to do in this church, however it looks, whatever it's supposed to be. I don't want to quench him. Because if I quench the Holy Spirit, that's going to turn off the light. I'm not going to see God's purpose. And I'm going to be in the dark. I can guarantee you. I'm going to walk around in the dark. The Bible says, why is it important that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit? Because he's the one who seals us unto the day of redemption. What the word seal in the Greek means, it means to set a seal upon something, to affix a signet ring, which is an instrument that's used to stamp and to show authority, to show possession, to show that you belong to somebody. Kind of like the good housekeeping seal. You know, if whenever you used to see that, you'd say, boy, that means that according to that company, that's a good product. It's something you can go by. The Holy Spirit is the seal that tells us God loves us. He wants us to belong to him. He's our authority, but he also will take care of us. It's extremely important here, the seal. The other thing that's also important is the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as the earnest, as the down payment. You know what that means? That means when you buy a house and you put a down payment, that means that's your promise that you're going to pay the whole bill. And the house will be taken care of. The Holy Spirit has been sent as a down payment for each one of us that says God is going to complete everything he promised. He gave him as a down payment. Now, I don't know about you, but if the Holy Spirit is a down payment, can you imagine how much more there is of God? Kidding me. Let's go beyond the down payment. Let's enter in to his house, enter into his presence in a way we've never experienced before. The Holy Spirit is so important in your Christian life. If there's a disconnect, for whatever reason, you're going to be in the dark. And how about you? But the world we live in needs a lot of light. It's getting darker every day. Time to let the light in and let God do what he wants to do. Please bow your heads for a moment. I'm going to ask you today two questions. One of which, is there a disconnect in your life You know it theologically. You know that there's a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. But you've never really paid attention to the Holy Spirit. We think about the gifts and the fruit, and He inspires us. He allows the Word to be real to us. He's the agent in everything that comes alive to us. But we have a responsibility. We can't make ourselves have faith. We can make ourselves open to Christ, to the Lord, and He will put that faith and make it alive. And we will trust Him in ways we've never trusted Him before, because it's a fruit. It grows. And if you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've never thought much about the Holy Spirit, but I can see that He's a person. He's more important than I realize. And I don't want to be afraid of Him, because He really is the sensory part of the Godhead. He's the one that lets you know you're alive. He's the one that gave life in the first place through His breath. You'd say, pray for me, because I want to really know Him in a better way. And I want to pay attention. And you'd say, with an upraised hand, pray for me, so I know to pray for you. Okay. Okay. And then, do you feel that you have grieved the Holy Spirit in your relationship to Him? You'll know, because you'll wonder where He went. He lifts up Jesus. He doesn't lift up Himself. If anybody disconnects or has anything in their life, unforgiveness, anger, disobedience, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will not stay around for that. He stays where Christ is honored. And you'd say, I think I've grieved Him. I pray I don't quench Him. I don't want to extinguish Him from my life. I want Him to be more real to me. But I think there might be some things that I need to ask forgiveness. I need to take care of. And you'd say, pray for me. And you raise your hand. Extremely important in your personal relationship to Christ. As we sing this final song, and you can stand to do that, you want to seek the Lord at the altar, please feel free to come up and stand and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I really need you.
Come as the withered of soul. Oh. need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that it is the sweetness of the Spirit of God that brings us to life. It is the current that flows so gently, but so purposefully, that goes to light up the sun and then to reveal the Father's work. Father, I pray for each one that came up here that you would do in their life what you want to do. Turn the light on. Show them your bounty. Show them your brilliance and all of those things. Lord God, heal. Heal bodies. Heal memories. Heal the mind. Heal families. Heal relationships. Father, in the name of Jesus, do the work that you only can do. And I thank you, Lord, for it. Now I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed for just 1 second. In any body, in any place, the Holy Spirit will always be hampered. He will always be kept if there's unforgiveness and if there is any kind of strained relationships in the body. I'm not going to ask anyone to come up here. I'm going to ask if you have any issue with anybody in here, including me, including the board, including anybody, please come and tell me, tell anyone, not in a bad spirit, but in a way to say, I don't want anything in the way of the connection of the power of Christ. We pray for revival. We pray for God's work. We could be holding it back. Be very sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you need to come to somebody, do so privately, respectfully, and with forgiveness in hand. Never come expecting them to do something. Come expecting you to forgive and to let it go in the name of Jesus. Father, now I pray your blessing, your peace that passes all understanding to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, throughout this day and every day, be glorified, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Message next week will be holiness.